This is Big Rick. Not that Big Rick, but Big Rick from 94 Rock, and you're listening to the Run the Ropes podcast.
We're back again, this time for a bunch of news and some predictions for tonight's event of Elimination Chamber. And for those of you who follow along with predictions, we're going to go ahead and start with our predictions and get those out of the way, and then go through the rest of the news and everything else that's fit to discuss for this episode. So, tonight at Elimination Chamber, Birdman.
Hey, man, how you doing?
like you haven't been sitting there for a few.
Hey, you want to start off professional.
Oh, okay. We got Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin in a no DQ match. Who wins?
Braun Strowman.
No shenanigans?
Oh, well, yeah, of course, but, I mean, they gotta have Braun coming out looking strong, at least. I mean, we haven't seen this match 1,000 times already.
Actually, one-on-one, Baron Corbin versus Braun Strowman has only happened 1 time.
Is it just because they've been in, like, matches together with other people and it just feels like it's been 1,000 times?
Exactly. It's gotten the Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins treatment. Now, those two did have singles matches together a lot, but they were mixed and tagged so much that, yeah. Yep. Weird, right?
Yeah, that is kind of weird because it feels like that's all we've ever seen is them fight.
It feels like you just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also going Braun, but that's just because I don't really care either way. The best tag team in the world versus the Usos, if this match is still happening.
I was going to say,
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Well, if the Usos are not in it, this is a very bold prediction, okay?
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
If the best in the world tag team is not facing the Usos, and they put the New Day in there and say the New Day would win, I already predict Kofi to win the chamber.
Really?
Yeah.
That's if this happens.
That's if the New Day are involved in that match. If the Usos are in it, then I'm still going to say the best tag team in the world, because if they lose them, it was a fluke.
Well,
I know that was very confusing.
Yeah,
I just did all that.
I say the best tag team in the world's going to retain.
Yeah. Either way, I say they're going to retain if the New Day is not taking the place of the Usos.
Okay. I just think either way, Shane and Miz are walking out with the belts.
Okay.
Rousey versus Ruby Riott.
Is there a pay-per-view in between now and Mania?
Apparently there is. It's called Fastlane.
Okay, I know they've did it for a couple of years of Fastlane, but remember it was like Fastlane and it was like Roadblock?
Right. It's weird because, like, the timing schedule of all this is very off, because they could do mid-March, but then you've just got 2 weeks until Mania, so it's like, I don't know.
See, I want to say Rousey. I'm going to go ahead and say Rousey, because if the Riott Squad comes out and interferes, so isn't shoehorn Charlotte and Becky.
Now, Charlotte's already said that she bought a ticket. and that she'll be at ringside for that match, yeah. and that she could have a new WrestleMania opponent at the end of Elimination Chamber, and Ruby Riott is a hell of a wrestler, so...
Yeah, but I don't... they've been pushing this main event thing with Ronda Rousey and either Becky or Charlotte for months now. Yeah. I don't think they're going to throw us a curveball and Ruby Riott win it.
Yeah, I'm also going with Ronda Rousey.
And I know damn well they're not going to put Ruby Riott in the WrestleMania as a Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah, I don't foresee that either.
Yeah. I'm really going in-depth with these predictions today. I never do this.
So then we have Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor.
Lashley. I'm going to keep saying this for every pay-per-view. I don't care if I win the predictions or not. If Finn doesn't come out as a demon, then he's losing.
Yeah, but you can't look at Finn Balor as needing the demon to win.
No, you can't. But there's been multiple times that he should have been the demon and has never won. And he never was the demon and he still lost. So therefore, it gives him that extra advantage if he comes out as the demon.
That's fair. I'm going Lashley as well.
Okay. Have we had any disagreements yet?
Only if the
New Day comes in.
Yep.
Okay.
Women's Tag Team Elimination Chamber match. Sasha and Bayley versus the Samoan Slaughterhouse versus Riot Squad versus Iconics versus Mandy and Sonya versus Naomi and Carmella.
Oh, we know it ain't gonna be Naomi and Carmella.
Hey, you never know. Total Divas is calling. More about that later, too. More about that later, too.
Oh, God, no. There's only three teams that I think that should really have it.
Okay.
It's either the Iconics, the Riot Squad, or Absolution.
That's not a team anymore.
Well, that's what I'm calling them. That's what they'll be known as to me.
Okay, so who are you taking?
I'll take the Iconics.
Damn you, Birdman.
Is that who you're taking?
That's who I'm taking. They've already got the post for it and everything. Iconic.
Yeah.
Like, it's already written. Like, let them do it. Let them have an Edge and Christian run with it.
Let them have them till Mania.
Like,
then I don't care who gets them.
Well, like, they could do so much stuff. Like, I really look at them as like the early Edge and Christian, but now in the women's division.
Well, yeah, because they get the most mic time out of all the women,
and they're great.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's, if the Iconics win, given how they've been booked on SmackDown since showing up, does it tear down the prestige of those titles?
Okay.
And, like, part of me is like, I can see from a hardcore fan's perspective, oh, they're just making a joke of the women's division because there was women that deserved it who are actually good wrestlers, because, you know, that's what people will say. Even though I think, like, they are good. They just don't get the opportunity to show it. And then another part of me is like, this is the first time there will be champs, and they're all, like, that team will always be remembered, right?
Yeah.
Mandy and Sonya they're so much more of an alliance than they are as an actual team, even though they've been paired together. It's like you were just thrown together. So I don't see why that legacy would live on. Nia Jax doesn't need it. Tamina doesn't deserve it. Sorry. She looks like your aunt that just doesn't want to be anywhere that she's at.
Yeah.
She just acts like she just would rather be somewhere else. So she does not, I don't see her deserving that. Sasha and Bayley will have a legacy on their own. They don't need to be the first women's tag team champions. Naomi and Carmella, again, just thrown together. The Iconics have been a duo since they started, pretty much, in WWE. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is symbolic. And that makes a legacy. So, the Riot Squad were kind of thrown together when they came to Raw. But, yeah, so I think the Iconics is the most, like, solid team there.
It's the only true tag team.
And that's why I'm going with them.
Okay.
Then we have the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles versus Randy Orton versus Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy versus Kofi Kingston, since Mustafa Ali is out with injury. And we'll talk about Kofi in a minute, but let's just go with the match.
Randy Orton.
You think it's going to be Randy?
Yep.
Why?
Because if he wins it, he'll be tied with Flair and Cena.
So you think that's enough of a reason to, like, put that story together?
And there has been a whole storyline booked for Mania that they wanted AJ versus Randy.
Well, what will you do with Daniel Bryan then?
Unless you put him in a feud with Joe or somebody, I don't see it in there. To me, it's not because he's heel or anything, but Daniel Bryan to me is not what he was a few years ago. Like, it's not because he was a babyface, not because he was a heel. I was excited when he was, like the build-up for WrestleMania 30. How it was, yeah. You know, he kind of had a story and stuff with it. Now when he comes out, I could care less about what he's talking about.
But that's just because he's appealing to things that you don't like. not necessarily saying that you don't like them as you don't want to save the planet, but I mean, like, it's a hipster gimmick. Like,
yeah.
the whole overall draw of it is a niche-like area, and so therefore it's not just broad. And
I'm not to interrupt you, I don't care for his matches anymore.
See, and that, I'm polar opposite. I care more about Daniel Bryan matches now, with him being the heel character, because he's so much more aggressive. And there's so many more, like, strikes and body blows and just, like, I will watch those matches and be like, damn, he is kicking the shit out of somebody. When before, with, like, the yes kicks, I'm like, yeah, it's for fan service, whatever. When he's got someone laying down and he grabs their arms to lift them up and starts stomping them in the skull, like, that's brutal to me. And I'm like, holy shit.
The thing, I feel like he went from more of a technical wrestler to a striker.
And that's fine by me. I like people who can change it up.
See, I just like Brett, when Brett went from face to heel, he didn't change being a technical wrestler.
Okay.
I mean, yes, I understand everybody's got to be...
All right, explain that to me. When he's using the ring bell and he's wrapping your legs around the post for the figure four.
Well, that too, but it's still a technical figure four.
Well, he's been doing his submissions and stuff that are still very much technical.
Yeah, I just don't know. He doesn't appeal to me, and it's not the gimmick, it's not your face, it's just, I don't know. Again, maybe it's just he's that good of a heel, like, you're at the point where, I don't care if he's out here or not.
Maybe. Maybe he's got you.
What is it?
I said maybe he's got you.
Maybe. Because, I mean, people hate that belt, and they're supposed to hate the belt. What are you? You're not supposed to like it. It's a heel belt.
Okay, so your prediction is Randy Orton that wins.
Yes.
Ending the title reign of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
And setting up Randy Orton versus AJ for Mania.
Yeah.
Okay, so... given the stuff that happened on SmackDown, and that's what we'll talk about right next, I really want to do the fan service thing and say, let it be Kofi. And then maybe do a switch back, like Daniel Bryan says it was a fluke, and fights him at Fastlane and steals it from him in a rematch, right? But at least Kofi held it for a month, right?
That's if they don't take it back off of him on Tuesday night.
Part of me, pulling the Christian.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks that it will be a title change regardless. But Daniel will get it back at Fastlane. So whether that's Kofi or not, or he'll get it back at Mania from the person that takes it from him at the Chamber. And my initial guess before all this, the Kofi stuff, and like I said, I feel like that's a real big fan service, and they're about to do some stuff with Seth at Mania, and they're about to do some stuff with Becky at Mania, so I don't know if you do this short-term with Kofi right now, or you just hold out and maybe build Kofi into some main event stuff, but just not yet. You know what I mean?
But here's my thing. If Mustafa Ali's eye wouldn't have been screwed up, Kofi wouldn't even be in this.
Yeah.
So therefore, they really, if he does win it, they really have to change something on the fly.
Yeah, that's true. So my gut feeling and who I was saying before all of this is who I'm going to go with on the prediction, and that is Samoa Joe. I think Joe walks out of the Chamber WWE champion.
To me, he doesn't need it.
To me, he does.
I don't know. His promos are on fire.
That's why he needs it. Now is the time. People were already seeing him as important and, you know, tough, and he could be champ and whatever, and then you never let him have the opportunity. Now it's like he's back on the upswing because of promo work this time. So now, let him be aggressive, but let the promo work be the what gets him there, not just the in-ring ability.
I still never agreed with them putting him against Brock at Great Balls of Fire and making him look squashed.
I didn't think he looked squashed at all. I thought he brought a fight to Lesnar.
Yeah, but I would never did it to him because it kind of killed all the momentum till now, to me.
I guess I could see it, but yeah, I'm going Samoa Joe. So we agree on every match except the Chamber.
Wow, it sounds like Royal Rumble weekend.
It sounds like you said Orton, I said Joe. We both kind of hope it's Kofi.
Yeah, so either way, if Kofi wins, we both win.
But yeah,
I want to see a New Day celebration on Tuesday.
That would be awesome. But we'll find out. But let's go back now. All right. So since predictions are done, let's talk about it. Kofi Kingston, SmackDown Live. I think it was like almost 62 minutes or something like that.
He was over an hour.
No one on SmackDown has done that.
Nope.
On Raw, you have Seth Rollins. SmackDown. What'd you say?
I said on Raw they have.
Yeah. So on Monday Night Raw, it's Seth Rollins. And on Tuesday night, it's Kofi Kingston. And what an awesome, like, match for him. Like, that whole match.
You know, I kind of like the gauntlet match.
I do, too, at times. Like, I don't want it to be used just we have nothing, so it's filler.
Want it to be, like, an every other...
Right. Like the, how they used to do with the Fatal 5 Ways all the time.
Or just a multi-man match, period.
Yeah. But... This was good. I could not believe it when Kofi got a pin over Daniel Bryan.
I mean, who would have thought Kofi would have went that long in it, though?
Yeah, But that's what I'm saying. Like, Kofi and Daniel Bryan fought for a really long time, and I just kept thinking to myself while watching it, like, damn. Like, how long is this gauntlet match going to be the whole show? Because, like, it's been, like, 30 minutes. Like,
well, that was the way at the very end when Orton's music hit.
Oh, I knew. I knew when we got to AJ versus Kofi. And I saw how much time was left. I said, all Orton is going to do is an RKO. I already knew who was going to win it.
Yep, because I sat there, and as soon as his music hit, and AJ just looked at the system like, he's fucking behind you. Just turn around. You idiot. He's right there behind you. You know he is.
Now, I listened to Edge and Christian's podcast this week. And I was already thinking it myself, but I heavily agree with the standpoint that Edge had with this match. It shouldn't have been AJ that took the RKO.
No, because it makes him look soft.
No, that's not the reason.
Why?
Kofi should have pinned AJ, and, like, even if it was a surprise roll-up or whatever, because AJ could afford the loss, but how much heel heat do you get when the fans have turned and rallied behind Kofi, and he just beat four other men, and one of them's the WWE champion, and has worked over an hour, and as he stands up, he eats an RKO, 1, 2, 3, it's over, it was all for nothing, Randy Orton's the last man in. It immediately builds to the crowd, and Orton is booed even more than he was before, rather than going out in a formidable amount with AJ, and then AJ eating the RKO.
Yeah.
It should have been Kofi. Kofi should have beat all of them and then ate an RKO. So that was your reward for all your efforts, is you still lost. And you lost that way. Who's the first people in? Don't know. We only know who the last person in is in that match.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, for me, I was just like, that was a missed opportunity because... Because you could even turn that then itself, if you didn't have Orton or Kofi, like, win it. You could turn that into a bit of a rivalry itself, because they already had a rivalry years ago, remember?
Yeah, when he poured paint all over his new car.
Yeah, exactly. So then you get Kofi, who finally had an opportunity, and Orton robbed him of it, and Kofi's coming back for revenge. And it could be intense, even with him being a part of the New Day. It could have been like, hey guys, I need to like hold off on being so happy-go-lucky for a minute because I'm legitimately mad. And you don't have to break up the team for it. You had a feud there, and you actually had something that would be worthwhile with Orton where you haven't had that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Maybe, you know, they got some ideas now after Tuesday, but it was interesting. Next thing, Becky, is replaced by Charlotte.
Yes.
I hate the way that was done. She should have refused to apologize and then been kicked out.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I feel like people had their wires crossed on that one. I don't understand. Because you could turn around and play the angle that Triple H and Stephanie made her weak by making her apologize, and that they were in on it the entire time and knew that Vince was going to do it. And yeah, it builds heel heat, but it could have built that heat by itself if she'd have just said no, and then they did that. Like, that heat would have been there regardless, so I just definitely don't agree with that.
Yeah, I would rather not have seen her in there, because, I mean, it's just because they didn't have nothing else for her.
Right, and there's still a SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
Exactly.
You could have had Asuka versus Charlotte, too.
I feel like no one's even paid attention to Asuka.
She's not even been on TV.
Exactly. They're so worried about the Raw Women's Championship, which to me, okay, this is where I'm going to get heated. It is a Raw Women's Championship match, correct?
Yeah.
Becky won the Rumble, she could choose whoever she wanted to face, correct?
Right.
Charlotte is on SmackDown. Why is she allowed to fight for the Raw one?
Because she got replaced by Becky.
But shouldn't it have been replaced by a Raw superstar?
It was Vince's hand-picked choice.
Well, Vince's hand-picked choice is a fucking... I don't even want to go there. It's just bullshit. Like, I understand this is the Stone Cold storyline, and me and you've talked about this before, of how Stone Cold always got screwed, and it was always The Rock replacing him.
Yep.
On something, but Stone Cold always seemed to find his way back into it.
Yep.
But the thing is, this is different. Because back then, they had title changes, major titles change on Raw.
Right.
Now, it's only big title changes change at sometimes pay-per-views.
Yeah. I get you there.
When's the last time we actually seen a title change for a major title besides the tag titles or the secondary ones?
Bobby Lashley winning the Intercontinental title.
I mean world championships, not
oh,
like the
world
secondary.
Championships. Roman Reigns beating, who did he beat with Vince as the referee? Sheamus?
I don't remember. Wow, that's been a long time.
Been a couple years.
Yeah.
Or AJ winning it on SmackDown Live. Oh, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan versus AJ. Didn't the title change happen on SmackDown Live?
It may not have been the first title change time it changed.
No, I don't think it was the first time that they did it, but I
yeah,
think...
Yeah, because, I mean, you remember back in the day, title changes felt like they switched every other week.
Even though that shouldn't happen, but yes, I agree.
Yeah, even though it shouldn't happen, but I think, you know, it should sometimes happen.
Right. I don't know. It's interesting.
I just hate that the main event's probably going to be a triple threat.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Becky and Charlotte and Ronda.
I think if Becky would never got her face broke, that this would have been a whole different storyline. It could have been built from Survivor Series to now. And Charlotte would never even been in the mix.
Yeah, but mind you, that face-breaking moment helped Becky get over, and who's to say that the plan wasn't initially for Becky to drop it to Charlotte?
Oh, that's true, too, but I mean, but that's without being a smart mark and just kind of looking in like, oh my god, Becky would never had her face broke.
Yeah, no,
this
I get
never
you.
Never happened.
I think it sets a precedent. Like, we'll get the Mania match where what I hope happens is Becky is standing tall.
Okay.
And maybe she pins Charlotte instead of Ronda.
Still sets up Becky and Ronda.
Yeah. And Charlotte goes back to SmackDown. So I'm thinking that might be the direction there. So,
well, yeah, because, you know, it sets up perfectly, okay? You want my conclusion how it sets up perfectly?
Yeah.
Okay, because Ronda's supposedly supposed to be done after Mania to go start a family.
Now, so her contract is not up then, though.
But it doesn't matter. They can freeze it.
Yeah.
She's not being released. She's just wanting to start a family.
Right.
I mean, the same way with, like, any women to get pregnant or anything like that. But then you have Becky on Raw, and then that way Charlotte, when they move to Fox, can be on SmackDown to be the superior athlete.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all works out if with Ronda gone, it's still they're gaining Becky.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been looking at it as long term as that. But I guess we'll see how this all plays out. I'm sure tonight will be a chapter for it as well.
Yeah.
Other news, Jimmy Uso is arrested, which is why we were talking about the tag match and the predictions, after supposedly trying to square up with a cop.
I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, and now there's a report that they're reportedly, Naomi and him are trying to get fired. I think that report's probably just completely bogus, because...
Well, yeah, why would they want to get fired?
Well, it's not only why would they want to get fired, it's this is an incident that, you know, he's been arrested before.
Yeah.
I don't look at this as I'm doing this intentionally. I just look at it as it was something that happened, and now we're going to figure out what's going on. However, the reports of them, like the Usos being unhappy with WWE, may be true. And if that's true, I understand when their contracts are up, they're gone, but I don't take the Usos as I'm deliberately trying to get fired, because what would the benefit be if your contract, I'm pretty sure, from what I read, was already up, like, here within, like, the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a bogus statement to me.
Yeah, I agree. But now, that does open up the door and make me think if the Usos, because I don't see them just breaking up one and them never being a team again. That does open up the door to be like, ooh, could we see the Bucks versus Usos at some point? Could we see the Lucha Bros versus Usos? And more importantly, the one that I'd really want is, could we see the Gorillas of Destiny versus the Usos?
I'd rather see them as a faction.
Well, I mean, maybe you start out as a rival. And then later join in, you know?
I'm not dogging AEW one bit. I mean, I think it's great what them guys have did, but I don't think I'll be fully on the bandwagon until I see a act besides Double or Nothing. Like, once they get a TV deal or whatever.
Right.
Then I'll be fully on board, because as of right now, it's just the name of rosters. Names on a roster. It's not... We'll have to see how it is when it comes to... comes to either a TV deal or whatever they do, if they go just like with the Access TV deal or the fight app or something like that.
Right. Well, I'm glad that you said Double or Nothing, because that's where we were next heading to. It sold out in 4 minutes.
Yes, it did.
That's insane.
That is insane.
There were 43,500 people waiting in queue to buy tickets for a, I think at max, it was supposedly 12,000, but they've done some renovations, so it might be like 10,000 or something like that again. It could have one point hold like 17,000, but now it's a little less. But still, 43,000 people were logged on to try to get tickets for that show.
Then why didn't they try for a 20,000 seater?
Man, you don't want to jump the limits too quick, you know.
Yeah, but if you just did 10,000 seats in 10 or 20 minutes for
30 minutes, 29 minutes.
Okay, 29 minutes for all in, and they had 43,000 people. I mean, they could easily just did, because who's to say the people that didn't get in for the all in show wouldn't just go try to buy tickets for Double or Nothing? So why wouldn't you just try to do 20,000?
I don't know, man.
Don't want to see them take two. I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, they don't need somebody telling them what to do. But I mean, if you're just going to keep taking baby steps like that, then you're going to be really scared to make a full big jump.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
In regards to, like, this, though, it's selling out that quick in 4 minutes. I feel like that eases, all right, yeah, we can make this jump. Because 30 minutes, sure. Like, in Chicago, you're in a wrestling city, and it took 30 minutes, and you're like, wow, that's crazy. That record's insane. So now, I think they were thinking logically, because the next step, we'll go a little bigger not completely, like, doubling, but we'll go a little bigger, and we'll go to a place that isn't normally a huge known wrestling city, right?
Yeah, and mind you, they have no matches announced.
At this point in time, no, they did not. They had one officially announced, maybe two officially announced at that time.
Pac and Hangman?
I guess they did have all three then, because I didn't think Pac and Hangman was official, but I guess it is. Alpha versus Omega 2 was official. That was the first one they officially announced and made, like, the sign for and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae.
Oh, yeah, I seen that one yesterday.
So you have three matches. You're in a place that's not normally a wrestling city.
It's a gambling city.
Yeah, and you sell out in 4 minutes.
Yep.
Now I think you're ready to be like, okay, so the next time we go big. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if we can sell out a place that's not a wrestling city with only three matches announced, short-term announced, that is, and we sell it out in 4 minutes, we might have something here if we have a decent card to sell to a big venue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this step would be a stepping stone and a well-guided, but where you said taking baby steps, I don't know if the next one's a baby step, and I don't know if it should be at this point. I think maybe this is the moment where you go big or go home type of deal.
Double or nothing.
Triple or nothing.
Yeah, well, that just sounds odd. Now you're just being ridiculous.
Three ways in. No, I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what you could do with three, an all-in or a bet or something. I don't know. But anyways...
Three stages of hell.
That's a match type. That's probably trademarked by WWE. Anyways...
Who had it first, WCW or them?
I have no idea. But we got Alpha versus Omega 2, Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose versus Kylie Rae, and Paige versus Pac. And then apparently they're hinting at a mystery opponent for Cody.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot about who that mystery opponent could be, and there's a lot of people that think that it might be Dean. Because I guess technically it's not televised if it's streaming. You know?
Yeah.
So that 90-day thing might not hold up in those regards. But I think it's Marty. I'm pretty sure Marty's deal was up in April with Ring of Honor. And I think...
But after we talked about this, I did some research.
Okay.
Have you looked on ProWrestlingTees.com?
Marty has a shirt that says All My Friends Are Dead.
He has like four shirts that say.
Yep. And there's on Being the Elite, Cody has been replacing Marty in pictures with MJF and saying that Marty's dead. So, yeah.
Is Marty getting the Adam Cole treatment?
I think this is why he comes back.
What about this? What about if Marty doesn't come back for the match, but it's kind of like the Joey Ryan erection resurrection, and like he just comes back after the match and says, "I'm not dead. You can't kill the villain," or something in those lines, and he just. That he appears.
Right.
Kind of like how Jericho did with in the Pentagon outfit.
I think Marty will make a surprise and it'll be against Cody in some way, yeah. Cody is supposed to be good to wrestle by then, but you never know with the complications after surgery and stuff if you'll be recovered in time. So I think they'll do something with those two, yes.
I still can't believe he had to have surgery like that.
What do you mean?
You heard why he had to have surgery, right?
Oh, yeah, because he blew out his knee while shooting a t-shirt gun, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's so awful.
Well, it's just like Sami Zayn's shoulder injury when he was fighting Cena. He threw it out on his own when he raised his hands up quickly. So
it's just a freak accident.
Yep, it really is. So that happened. Kind of wanted to... there was one other thing about Double or Nothing. It's not really tied in with the event, but they're kind of friends. And that is Conrad hosting, having StarCast 2 there that weekend.
Yep.
The Undertaker at StarCast 2.
Yep.
That's crazy. That's absolutely insane.
That it is. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, it... they're paying apparently $60,000 to have him there for 3 hours, and they're charging $150 per photo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or autograph.
That is insane. I feel like we live in Bizarro World right now. You know?
Well, I think The Undertaker is just basically, he doesn't need to make the money, and he doesn't need the exposure. Maybe he can't get cleared by the doctors, and he wants to just go out and do other things that are wrestling related.
That might be true.
Because maybe they just won't medically clear him after, what was it, Crown Jewel?
Yeah, I have no idea. You feel like WWE would have been more open about all this, though. That's what throws me off even more, is that he's doing this kind of stuff, and, there was no statement.
Yeah, but then again, were they very vocal about Jericho when he started doing different shit?
No. Not really.
See, the other thing is, Shawn Michaels did the exact same thing Taker did. But see, Taker wasn't allowed to wrestle. But if they made him an appearance or something, it had to be a separate show, and it couldn't be on a wrestling show. You know how you do a meet and greet?
Yeah.
Okay. If there was a wrestling show the same night as a meet and greet, he couldn't do it. It had to be the day before or the day after.
So it had to be it had to be like a con or something.
Yes, he could not be affiliated with the actual match.
Yeah, and he's not, whatever. But how hand in hand are StarCast and AEW right now, though?
Well, yeah, that's true. But let's see if he shows up to WrestleCade.
Yeah. I don't know. Real weird. Real weird.
When Taker starts showing up at other little promotions and stuff, then I'll be worried.
Yeah.
But I don't see him leaving WWE without being in the Hall of Fame first.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other news in some other places real quick. Jay White is the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, he is.
Meaning that everything that he's basically said he's going to do, he's done in New Japan.
Yes.
I like that as a gimmick. I like...
What, he did everything he wanted to do?
That he... When he tells you something...
He's doing it.
He's gonna do it. It's like when I guarantee, you know, it's like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he says it, it's like, okay, well, you have to take it as that's actually gonna happen, or else...
Well, and I don't think they could have found a better person to replace Kenny.
No.
Than with Jay White.
No. I agree. I didn't know... When I was first, getting into Ring of Honor and stuff, really into it, not just knowing who people were and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought Jay White was a young upstart from them. I didn't realize that he had come from New Japan. I later learned that.
because he was part of, he was one of the young boys.
And I still didn't even know. Well, I hadn't been in New Japan yet either.
I thought he was like, I know all this information. I just heard it on another podcast.
So I thought he was like one of their undercards, and I had watched some of his matches. Thought he was really good. I didn't know how the new boy system worked with like sending them on excursion and them coming back. So
yes.
So I was like super into him in Ring of Honor and was hoping that like, man, like this guy can like go like. We're probably going to see him as world champion and stuff. I watched him have matches against Jay Lethal. I've seen him in person having amazing matches. And so when they said he was coming back to Japan, I was like, oh, awesome. And then they were like, as the Switchblade. And I was like, I don't know. Because he's always been like a good guy.
he got to pick his nickname.
Yeah, I know.
I want to say, who helped him pick it out? Was it Albert? Or Matt Bloom?
What?
I think Matt Bloom helped him. But at one time, that's what he was saying. No, it may have been... Who the hell was it? I know his name was mentioned. Shit, who else? Fale was mentioned. That helped. Yeah. Kind of helped him with the name.
Yeah.
And there was somebody else. I can't remember who.
Mm.
But yeah, he had to come up with his own name. And they were talking about Sling Blade, and then there he was like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So then he turned it to Switchblade.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm glad that he's champion. I know it feels kind of rushed in some regards, but I think it's a great change, and
there's a new ace in town.
Yeah. You can build a lot of stories from here, so that's good. Yeah. I'm very happy for that. And then we'll also talk quickly about Impact Uncaged that happened on Friday.
I liked it.
I was 50-50 on it, but I'm in a few different reasons why I'm 50-50 on it. I feel like...
We don't have to go through every match. Let's just, you know, highlights.
I feel like overall, here's where I'm at with Impact, and I hate to say it this way. I feel like there are some things that they do very well and is top-tier caliber, like, talent and some matches and stuff that they need to mainly do that stuff. But then I feel like there's some, I don't want to say it as in the term that we heard with like Dean Ambrose, but then there's some like hokey shit. And
well, there's always going to be hokey shit.
But it's weird because it doesn't feel like it's the same. Like, that's what I was saying. Okay, so like,
are you referring to the hokey shit like at the almost end of the show?
No. That helps build a story. I'm okay with that. If you're talking about the Brian Cage and Impact pin at the same time?
No.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Dark Alley and Su Young.
Oh, no. I'm always fine with stuff like that. I like out-of-the-box, crazy, supernatural shit.
Okay, that's what I was... Because I liked it, too. So what hokey bullshit are you talking about, then?
So, like... Team AAA versus Team Impact. I have a real problem with that match. And it's not with the characters. It's with one character on Team Impact, but let me just try to explain it all. Okay? So we're in Mexico and it's Team AAA versus Team Impact. So immediately you think Team AAA is going to win. Then you have the team that you put together for Team Impact are all people that don't really get along, are very different characters, and that makes for an interesting dynamic, you know, watch to see how they interact type of thing. But I feel like there were so many missed things in the match, and I don't even mean like missed as in like a missed spot. Just like things that shouldn't have been. Like when Eli Drake used the kendo stick on Eddie Edwards, the ref was right there. I hate spots that are done where the ref is right there and we're just supposed to believe that the ref didn't see it. You need to let me clearly know that the ref didn't see it, because if there's even a hint that I think he saw out of the corner of his eye that smack, or heard it for that matter, because he was standing right next to that turnbuckle where he smacked him.
Yeah.
How as a ref are you not like, oh, you use that, like, you know what I mean?
And it sets up for Eli Drake versus Eddie Edwards in Vegas.
Yeah, I get that, but I just don't agree with how that was done. Secondly, I don't like the Eddie Edwards character.
No, I hate it, because the only thing I do like about it is how they keep playing it off of when Sammy Callahan smacks him in the face with the bat.
Right, but it's gone on too long. Too long.
It has been, and I didn't understand like this whole mix and match of characters for that. I think I would have took Triple A's best and then Impact's best and made like a Survivor Series.
Right.
But not, you know, Fale Baugh and Sammy Callahan, Eli Drake, and Eddie Edwards all in this mixed match of a tag team, all of a 8-man tag.
Right. Sorry about that noise there for a second. I had to check something at the door. But, yeah, no, I agree with you.
It was just weird. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Triple A kind of brought out their big people.
Yeah.
So why didn't we? Why didn't you have LAX on there with two other people besides this thrown together tag team of Eli Drake and Eddie Edwards?
Right. I don't know.
Because LAX wasn't on the card. All they had was their vignette or promo with Lucha Bros.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I am going to say this. I hope All Elite Wrestling's good to kick all these other promotions in the ass to make theirs better.
I agree with that.
I hope All Elite's good to kick WWE in the ass, and we have a ratings war again.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to take a while, but yes, I agree.
It'd be wild, but the thing is, this isn't about ratings anymore. Like, ratings don't matter, really, because when I listen to the X-Pac podcast, you have to go off ratings. Plus, then you got to wait a couple days to go off the DVR ratings.
I don't really want to get into the ratings talk, because I feel like there are some people that heavily rely on it too much, and then there's others who don't rely on it enough, and there's no in between when you debate that kind of stuff.
But there's also so much more to it, because then you got to go off your internet views, because look how many hits their YouTube gets.
But what I'm saying is from a technical standpoint, having a technical background, people talking about your internet views, in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. That really doesn't. And your impact is based on, pretty much at this point, your impact is based on your ability to sell. Like,
but when there's, like, they're taking what AEW just basically took one of their hottest tag teams.
Yeah.
And you know their tag division is not strong to begin with.
Right.
I just don't want to see Impact get this boost that they've had lately and making a good, semi-good product to going back into shit.
Right.
Because who owns Impact right now? Is it still Billy Corgan?
No, it's Anthem.
Anthem still owns it?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember, because I couldn't remember if Billy Corgan still had it.
No, he doesn't at all. He owns the NWA.
Oh, I know that. But I don't know. I think their whole channel jump is really going to hurt. It really going to hurt them.
I disagree, because they came on Twitch, and that's where I watched them. And
they were on Twitch before the Pursuit. They were doing, like, dark matches and, like, a more risque thing on Twitch.
Yeah, but now you've got the main show on Twitch, which now makes you officially worldwide.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because they had their barbed wire massacre
on Twitch. LAX. Yeah, they tested it there, yeah.
Yeah, it's on there. Whatever they can't air on TVs on Twitch.
Right, and now you've got the shows week in and week out on Twitch. So,
yeah,
all your content is being shown, so that's good.
Well, plus, should we do a cheap pop real fast?
What?
For Pluto TV with their 24-hour TNA and Impact service.
That is an awesome app.
It is. Does that mean I actually get my first Cactus Jack pop?
Bang, bang.
Yes, I did.
But yeah, so it was just kind of hokey shit like that, that like threw off some things where there was a lot of stuff on there that was actually really good. I really liked Willie Mack's match against Ethan Page.
Yes, if I could just understand Ethan Page. There was points of that match where I was like, that was bad, or, ooh, okay. Like,
on Ethan Page's part, I think yes, Willie Mack's stuff was great.
Like, the first time he countered the stunner, it looked slow as hell.
Yep.
But he took the stunner great, I thought.
Yeah.
But when he, like, both of those counters on that stunner was really like, you could have sped that up a little bit. I know they're two bigger guys.
You're right.
But I've seen bigger guys move faster than what they were.
Yeah. I understand. I'm going to tell you this, and you might disagree with me. Taya Valkyrie versus Tessa Blanchard in the street fight.
Is that where we're going to disagree?
I'll tell you why we're going to disagree. It's not that I didn't like it, but any time I have watched the Tessa versus Taya match, street fight and for the title, I'm sorry. I even said it with the Taya and, what's her name? Why can't I think of her name? Decay.
Rosemary?
Yes. I even said it with the Taya and Rosemary match. I don't think she's a very good wrestler.
I don't think Taya is, and I think where she's came from, like, because she's basically came from AAA to Impact and then now married the Johnny Mundo.
Right, but, like, I honestly, I hear more praise for it than I do anything down, and I hate to say it, like, I don't ever want to be like, oh, that person's, like, garbage. I don't think she's garbage by any means, but, like, to be the champ and to be on the platform that she's at, anytime I see her versus Tessa, I see Tessa working circles around her.
Oh, yeah, and she does. And I actually thought the street fight wasn't bad. I thought there was some spots in it, and I was like, oh, damn, like, she just really took that chair to the face in the barricade.
Yeah, I will agree with stuff like that. But then, like, the finish, she took way too long to deliver a foot stomp through a table.
Okay, what was the thing in the corner?
What do you mean?
The big black thing, what was that?
I don't know. I don't know if it was supposed to be, like, a big, like, some kind of table or whatever, but they were clearly trying to break it, and they could not break it.
I didn't know if it was a table or if it was a door or whatever it was, but it wasn't budging. And then that whole thing where the table kind of collapsed.
Yeah.
And Taya didn't even touch Tessa, and Tessa, like, switched on her own.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's ugly. Like, no, she should have forced her to turn, not Tessa. Just like, oh, I better switch real faster. This ain't going to work.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It was.
And I got a question.
Yeah.
Josh Matthews saying that was the same shirt that Tully wore in his street fight. That shirt looked pretty brand new to be worn by Tully back in the day.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Just throwing that out there. It looked pretty new.
Yeah. But then the main event, you saw Brian Cage basically put on his clinic and was about to win the thing, and Johnny Impact snuck a win, basically.
Where did Killer Cross come from?
You mean before Impact?
Yes.
No clue.
I'm very impressed by him.
Yeah.
I think his mic skills are good. I think his in-ring ability is good.
I like his promos. I do.
I think everything about him is like top notch to me, and I just captivate towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Brian Cage. I've always been a Brian Cage fan ever since Lucha Underground.
Right.
But, and then Moose just kind of gets thrown in the mix because of him and Killer Cross kind of being like friends. But when they hug out and Killer Cross just looks at the hard camera and is like, oh shit. Like,
yeah.
He's about to go crazy right now.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, I saw the continuation and the furthering of a storyline, but I feel like it's being drawn out a little too long at this point.
With who?
With Cage and Impact.
It has, and Killer Cross has always been like that, sneaking in the corner. Like, you know where I am, but you don't know what I'm about to do to you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, when Brian Cage did drop the X Division and went for the title, Killer Cross was like, oh, you need me as protection. You need, like, he was trying to be a friend, and then he just turns.
Yep.
But I feel like there's such a bigger storyline building there, because at Homecoming, Killer Cross threw Ty off the stage.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just like, why are you not angling towards that?
No clue. Like
the man assaulted another man's wife. Like,
yep.
Work towards that. Use that storyline.
Yep.
But then again, I feel like they don't know where they want Brian Cage, and he's such, and they don't want to lose him, because I feel like that's something that would happen.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
So they're going to keep him in the title picture, but the man's only going to want to be there for so long and not win a title, and want to go other places.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I don't know.
Because we've seen last night that the Lucha Bros and LAX are going to get the rematch.
Yeah.
So you know LAX is going to win the titles because of Lucha Bros going to AEW.
Right.
I feel like we could do a whole story on how we would book Impact right now.
Probably, but now is probably not the time to do that.
Yeah, so let's move on to the news before we get even further in depth with it.
Okay, well, actually, I'm about to wrap some things up. I'm going to do a few things that happened this week in wrestling, like a few big moments that happened within the last few days, I should say, more than rather the whole week. But
okay,
still, we'll go with some low notes and build to higher ones.
Okay, rapid fire me.
2010. TNA announces that they are moving to Monday nights.
When?
In 2010. That's when Hogan and Bischoff came in.
Oh, okay. I was like, you know, it's 2019, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying things that happened, like, in history.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so 2010, TNA announces that they're moving to Monday nights. Worst decision since hiring Hogan and Bischoff a few months prior.
Yep.
Yeah, it was awful. 1986, the debut of I Am a Real American music video on Saturday night's main event, Hulk Hogan's entrance theme. The music video was debuted.
God, I love that. And he holds that guitar so awkwardly.
Yeah. You know he's an actual bass player.
Yeah, I know that.
That's how he was found, was someone caught him like playing bass, and he was just huge. He's this huge dude that was a bass player.
Usually that's what happens. Bigger guys play bass.
Yep. It rests on the belly better.
They do. Believe me, I used to play bass.
I just started this year, so. Anyways, 2009, I think something that may never happen again happened at Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
Edge walks into Elimination Chamber, WWE champion, walks out World Heavyweight Champion. He was in the first match on the card, which was the WWE title match that was on SmackDown at the time, where he got a roll-up pin done to him. He was the first one eliminated. So we were guaranteed a new WWE champion. Then in the World Heavyweight title match, Kofi Kingston, you know, he's been working on this for 11 years. Kofi Kingston is about to enter the chamber for the Raw for the World Heavyweight title when Edge attacks him, makes it so that he's unable to compete, runs into the chamber and closes the door on himself, refusing to let to get out, and they let the match start. And Edge turned around and won it.
The ultimate opportunist.
That's right. There are a few things here that I love most because I think about, like, when I think of, like, highlights and moments and, like, sequence of things, like, random little tidbits of wrestling, I always go to, when I think of Elimination Chamber, I always go to the Codebreaker into the 619 into the spear that eliminated John Cena in that chamber. Because I was completely against Cena. He was, same old stuff Cena, kind of like how people did with Roman.
Yeah.
And so to see Jericho hit a finisher, then Rey hit a finisher, then Edge get his retribution on Cena and hit his finisher, and it was like, oh, yes, all right. Like, like I was all about that. So then we also got that promo the next Monday night on Raw where he came out to the ring and told everybody that they were wrong. If you remember that, he's running around going, wrong, wrong, wrong. I loved that. So, that all happened in 2009. Then, one of the most important things that happened in 2004, Eddie Guerrero won the WWE title for the first and only time against Brock Lesnar at No Way Out.
Wasn't that when he got really, really bloody?
No, that you're probably thinking of the bull rope match with JBL later that year.
Yeah, that's it.
That was that run, yes. But he won it from Lesnar at No Way Out in 2004. I'm pretty sure, this is going to sound bad now that I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure he delivered like a frog splash onto Lesnar, who had a chair laying on top of him.
I do believe.
I think so. But yeah, that was interesting. And I'm pretty sure Goldberg helped that too, didn't he?
Can't remember. I'll have to go back and watch it.
I think so. Because I think that set up the Goldberg versus Lesnar match.
At the god-awful match at Mania?
Yep. Yeah, because WrestleMania 20 is where Eddie and Benoit stood tall. So yeah, thanks to Goldberg and a steel chair.
Yeah, that terrible match was Stone Cold as a guest referee.
Yeah. But we'll continue to keep forgetting about that.
Yes, please.
Anyways, we got our predictions for the night. We got everything else going on. We got a 2K episode coming up this Thursday, I believe. I'll let you know for certain. But our main event is from Everything Pro Wrestling's Conrad Cushman versus The Darkness for the IC title. We have two more matches going on to determine the first ever RTR Tag Team Champions.
And that is next week?
That's this upcoming week. That's Thursday.
Okay. Oh, yes. I forgot what day it was.
We will have... We're going to have the big package, Teddy and Big Mike, versus two-thirds of the IWC, Rob Wolfter, IWS. I always do that. Rob Wolfter and Alan Gowers. And then we're going to have the Lady Killers in action as well. They're facing the team of the new team of Lynn Frederick and Cody England.
Can I tell you what hopes in the finals?
Go for it.
The Big Package and the Lady Killers.
Can I tell you who I hope's in the finals?
Who?
I want to see the Big Package versus the Lady Killers, obviously. But I would love to see the matchup between the Big Package and the Peerless Angel, Sean Kelly and El Tigre Azul. Just because El Tigre got to deliver the tea bag for the first time to one Teddy.
Yes.
And I'd like to see how that played out, especially after that match last week against them in GNR.
Yes.
So yeah. But we will see. Two more matches advance that tournament this week, and we have an IC title main event. And
nice.
Then we'll have a couple of other surprises there, and then we'll have something special to run by itself only on Twitch. This show, Uproar, you can watch on Twitch, and you'll be able to watch, well, you might be able to watch that one on Twitch. Working out details on that, but you'll definitely be able to watch it on Facebook Live. But then we'll have something called RTR Trimmer. It's just a one-off match on our Twitch channel. And it's for something, you know, for the next show or leading down to another event.
I really want to see what Awesome Bob has to say about his loss last week.
Yeah, haven't heard much from him. So we'll have to see. But, all right. Well, I think that's it for us on this episode. Thank you guys for joining us, and we will catch you here. If we don't have a pop-up podcast in between, we will catch you back in 2 weeks.
And everybody enjoy the Chamber tonight, and always remember that Elimination Chamber 2015 for the IC belt is the worst.
All right. Thank you for running with us.